As Janet read so powerfully from the first letter to the Corinthians, we are fools for Christ. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we speak kindly. We have become just like that which the world throws away. April Fools. When Jesus' female disciples, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, went to Jesus' tomb early on that first Easter morning, I'm sure that they were all hoping that this had just been one great big April Fool's joke. No, April Fool's wasn't a tradition in first century Palestine. Still, I'm sure that all of us have been where these three women were. Woken up and prayed that it had just been one great big bad dream. Some poorly thought out joke. Maybe for you it was because out of anger you said some things that you shouldn't have said and that now you can never take back. Maybe you did something at work or at school or didn't do something and now your job hangs in the balance. Maybe it was as significant as a loved one dying. You wake up, hoping against hope, maybe even praying, that it was all a dream, a hoax, an April Fool's joke, and somehow life as you know it isn't over. But it is. That is where Magdalene and Mary and Salome are. They're bringing spices to Jesus' grave on the morning after the Sabbath, coming to do one of the simplest and most profound acts of mercy. One last bit of kindness for Jesus, their teacher, their Lord. But the stone had been rolled away, and that strange man who was now standing in the tomb said that Jesus had been raised. It sounds like a cruel joke. Like receiving a card from your beloved in their handwriting days after their death, and realizing that they must have stopped at a mailbox before they took their last breath. Or like the Christmas presents that they ordered that are on back order that arrive after they've died. A couple of days after my dad died last spring, my phone rang with Dad's ringtone and picture and name. And for just a moment, I was paralyzed. For just a moment, I let myself hope. But when I answered, it was my sister using his phone. And I was a fool for hoping. But here's the thing. Unlike the foolish hope of amputees who have a phantom limb, or the foolish hope that I had when my phone blasted on Wisconsin and my heart leapt, imagining that it was Dad on the other end. In Jesus rising, he broke the chains of death. And now, death and sin are the fools. They thought that they had the last word, but Easter tells us something different. You see, this This is the hinge. Our God wrote the rules of the universe. Our God is the one who decided how everything would work and created everything in all of existence. Our God decided that 2 + 2 would equal 4 and that gravity would mean that all things that have mass would be joined, attracted together. Our God is the one that decided that the carbon atom would be the basis of all life. And our God decided that death is the end. That when we die, we stay dead. That's the end. Until Easter. On that windy hill some 2,000 years ago, human sin killed God's love incarnate. That was it. Game over. But after 3 days in the tomb, after trying to come to grips with the passionate divine love affair being over, God could not stay dead. God looked at you and at you and at you. And God can do that because God exists outside and beyond time and space. God looked at everyone here and God said, I love you too much to allow your sin and your brokenness to have the last word. In doing so, God made death and sin the fools. They're no longer the end. What this means to the widower and the divorcee and the addict and the person burned out on life and the student struggling to figure out who they are and the lonely and the afraid and the afflicted is that Easter says that new life is possible in God. Though your situation may seem impossible, we see in the crucifixion and resurrection that God has been in even tougher places than you are. And God promises that love will win. To be sure, the new life that we receive is going to look and feel very differently than the one that died. But it will be rich. And it will be meaningful. And Christ promises that we will not have to walk alone. It's important to note here that the power of Easter is not, therefore, in our death, not in what happens after death, but what the knowledge of resurrection does for our lives before death. Since we don't have to be worried about how all of this is going to turn out, since we know the end of the story, since we know that God reigns and death is vanquished, now our project becomes writing the middle chapters and writing them as followers of Christ, as people who have been claimed by the living God. If we go back to our lives tomorrow as if this does not have a claim on us, then what does our faith really matter? Before Easter, the way things used to work is that if something troubling got in the way, like a whistleblower for justice or a worker for peace or an advocate for reform, the world could just kill it and be done with it. But Jesus' April Fool joke on death means that righteousness and mercy and peace cannot be dismissed with a sword. Now, as our reading from 1 Corinthians tells us, we are called to be fools for Christ. We are fools for Christ when we speak truth to power. We are fools for Christ when we stand up for the downtrodden and the afraid. We are fools for Christ when we forgive, even when, perhaps especially when, it's hard. We're fools for Christ when we realize that our depression is not going to have the last word, and we decide to get help. We are fools for Christ when we open our eyes amongst our deepest pain and recognize that the living God has been here cherishing us and cheering for us all along. We're fools for Christ when we tap in to the presence and the power and the principles of the risen Christ, when we champion love because we understand that it is through love that we have been redeemed, and therefore it is through love that God is going to use us to redeem the rest of creation. If we can do that, there's nothing that we cannot do. We can move mountains. We can banish fear. We can love our enemies. We can change the world. The only thing that we can't do is hold on to the way that things were. Friends, Easter invites us to lend our lives, lead them, grounded in the fidelity of God, trusting, hoping, believing, committing ourselves to the fact that there is nothing in all of creation that you can do that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And therefore, there's nothing to fear, because the end of the story is already written. Thanks be to God.